Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to the King. Glory to the King. Oh, glory to the King. Glory to the King. Glory to the King. Glory to the King. He's so wonderful, I can't help but sing. Give glory to the King. Oh, glory to the King. Oh, glory to the King. Glory to the King. Glory to the King. Glory to the King. He's so wonderful, I can't help but sing. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, you're my King. Yes, Jesus, you're my King. Oh, Jesus, you're my King. Oh, Jesus, you're my King. Jesus, try. There is no God as big.
Brother Moore always reminds us, and I want to remind you, that faith shouts while the walls are still up. Amen? In other words, before we see the victory manifest, we can go ahead and thank God because we know it's His will. Glory to God. We know it's His will for us to win. Praise the Lord. Can somebody say amen? Hallelujah. Doesn't matter what it is, a financial need, it's His will for you to win. It's His will to meet that need. Hallelujah. You know, I used to think, well, how do I really know it's God's will to meet my monthly bill on you know, for my rent or my electricity? Maybe He would want me to lose this house, and maybe He wants to move me somewhere else. But no, He doesn't have to do it through our inability to meet our rent. If He wants you to go somewhere else, He can just tell you, I want you to go somewhere else. Hallelujah. But until He tells us to go somewhere else, it's His will to meet our financial need, to see our rent paid, to see our light bill paid, to have plenty of groceries on the table. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It might be some spiritual area that you're struggling with or have struggled with. Before you're walking in complete victory in that area, we can go ahead and thank God. Amen. Because it's His will for us to walk spiritually victorious. Amen. Glory to God. We can be in victory even before we grow out of all our faults. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, we'll never grow out all of our faults in this lifetime. Will we? Will we be perfect in this life ever? Praise God. So if we're waiting to overcome everything before we give Him thanks, that's a mistake. Amen. Say it with me. Faith shouts while the walls are still up. Hallelujah. So let's go ahead and give Him some sincere thanks. Just go ahead and begin to thank Him because you believe His word. Hallelujah. Thank Him for the need being met. Thank Him for the healing. Glory to God. Full restoration to complete health and strength and vitality. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. In the precious name of Jesus, Father, we give you glory while the walls are still up. Hallelujah. We believe your blessed holy word. Glory to God. Now, the devil will come along at some time and tell us this, that, you know, you're not really being sincere and honest if you thank God for healing while you still have symptoms in your body. But we believe the Word of God. Does anybody believe the Word of God? That by His stripes we were healed. Hallelujah. So we're not being insincere. We're not playing any kind of a mind game. Hallelujah. We're sincere in what we do. We believe the Word of God. So let's go ahead and give Him some thanks in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Father, we thank you sincerely. Hallelujah. For victory in every area of life. Thank you for paying our bills. Thank you for meeting our needs abundantly in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Thank you, Father, that by the stripes of Jesus we were healed. Glory to God. And Father, we fully expect to see the manifestation in the name of Jesus as we stand in faith and allow you to lead us. Glory to God. Go ahead and thank Him for victory in those spiritual areas in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus for victory spiritually. Hallelujah. Over every weakness, every fault, any habit that may have troubled us in the past, we thank you for victory. In the precious name of Jesus, Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Now let's sing it to Him this time. Everywhere I go, You give me victory from the top. You love me. Praise God. Well, why don't you shake somebody's hand and tell them you're walking in victory right now. Praise God. We'll be seated in His presence. Oh my God, everywhere I go, You give me victory. Glory to God. Good to see you, Stan. Thank you, man. Praise God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Well, it's good to see y'all on this chilly Tuesday morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah to Jesus. Anybody glad to be saved? Yeah. On your way to heaven. Praise God. Sins forgiven. Praise God. Blessings of God following along behind you. All these blessings will overtake you. Come on you and overtake you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, let's say it together. The Lord is good. And His mercy endures forever. Have you tasted of His mercy, anybody? Praise God. Oh, He's so good. He's so good. He's so good. Praise God. Well, let's open the Word back to John's Gospel, chapter 13. I thought we may have been through last Thursday on the subject of as I have loved you, but in looking to the Lord, I believe He prompted me to continue, at least for today, from that passage. Praise God. John's Gospel, chapter 13. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, we're so blessed. We're so blessed. As believers, we have God in us. Hallelujah. So He's always as close as our breath. Somebody said, you know, it just feels like my prayers didn't get past the ceiling. Well, they really don't have to. Somebody said, that's why we bow our head when we pray, so we can pray to Him. He's right in here. Hallelujah. That's not really why we bow our heads. But somebody say, He's in me.
He's in me.
And there is an angelic escort that goes with us everywhere we go. If our spiritual eyes could be open, I guess we'd see angels standing around in here, maybe some outside. Praise God. You believe the Word? Psalm 34, the angel of the Lord encamps round about me and delivers me. Amen. They're not just there to watch us as we spiral down the drain. They're there to minister for us, save us, protect us. Praise God. Glory to God. Well, let's pray together in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank You so much for who You are to us. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank You, Father, that You are never failing, an ever-present help in time of trouble. in the precious name of Jesus. And Father, we ask you for your help today. We acknowledge, we recognize our entire dependence upon you for any good. We ask you for utterance from me. We ask you, Father, to give us all ears to hear, hearts wide open to receive. In the precious name of Jesus, get glory to yourself. We thank you for it all. We call it done by faith in the name of Jesus. The church said amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. May I make a suggestion to you for a New Year's resolution or two? Resolve to walk more closely with the Lord. What about that?
Yeah, that.
Amen?
So good, yeah.
Praise the Lord. If the Lord lays it on your heart, maybe increase your time in the Word. Praise God. Or increase the time you spend with Him in prayer. The Lord's been dealing with me about that for a while. When I minister in healing class, I spend much more time in the Word, much more time in prayer. I eat less and don't look at as much news, you know, stuff like that, no TV. And so for the 2 months that I'm in healing class, it's like being up on the mountain with God. Hallelujah. Just in His Word virtually day and night, you know, praying a whole lot. And looking to Him for His direction. Praise God. Amen. And it just seems so beautiful, you know. It is so beautiful. It doesn't just seem that way. Seems like you're on the mountaintop with God. And then when my time is over in healing class and I'm not in here ministering, in the past I've kind of gone back down to a natural, you know, still spending time in the Word and in prayer, but just not as much. You know, still spending time with Him daily, spending time in the Word daily, but just not as focused. And looking at more news, you know, and taking care of, you know, natural responsibilities, running errands around town and things like that. And it's not that you can't look to the Lord and pray while you do those type of things, but it's just there's a greater intimacy and a greater ability to focus and to concentrate when you get alone with Him. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. So if the Lord stirs you up in that regard, those are good New Year's resolutions. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You got John 13 there? If you don't have it by now, you can just go ahead and leave. This class is too advanced for you. Praise God. John's Gospel, chapter 13, and verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now, there could be no higher standard set for us than that right there in the area of loving one another. Love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Praise God. Hallelujah. So love is to be a distinguishing characteristic of the believer. Praise God. Not necessarily how strong our faith is and how we never make a mistake in our confession, you know. Not necessarily how committed we are to church attendance or to serving in the church. Jesus didn't say that by those things men would know you're my disciples. He said, by your love. By your love. Praise God. Our Father is a God of love. Amen. And when He comes in at the new birth by the Holy Ghost, Romans chapter 5 said, the love of God is shed abroad in our heart. Praise God. That's an immediate change that takes place. We have a capacity to love in a greater way when we get born again than we did the day before. Praise the Lord. So by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. And He said to love one another as I have loved you. We want to talk this morning about in spite of their faults. In spite of their faults. Praise God. I want to read you a real, I think is a beautiful devotional from yesterday. This is a little devotional called The Divine Romance. It's taken out of the Passion Translation. He has some really good thoughts from Song of Songs, chapter 8, verse 10. Listen to this. Think about this. You bring the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit sheer bliss. You delight God's heart, and He is not disappointed with you. When He thinks of you, He is stirred with joy. Hallelujah. God doesn't mark you by your failures. Thank God for that. Amen. He sees you through the sacrifice of perfect love. Even when you're displeased with yourself, He's standing with arms wide open, ready to flood you with grace. We are our own worst critics. We judge ourselves much more harshly than the Lord does. Remember, He sees you with the finished product in mind. I guess He sees us in our glorified state in heaven. He knows that one day we'll be up there in those white robes, glorified bodies, glorified minds, never to have another doubt, never to have another fear. Glory to God. Never to utter another word of criticism or anger. Glory to God. Never failing again in any way. He sees us as the finished product. He doesn't look at you and wonder how He'll ever mature you to the point of perfection. Even when He corrects you, it's done with the conviction of tender love. It is with pleasure that He knows you. And He truly knows you more than anyone else in the world. And you still bring Him joy. Praise God. Isn't that good news? Hallelujah. Look at John's Gospel chapter 13 and verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father. Having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. Glory to God. He loved them unto the end. I really like that little statement. Praise God. One of the ways Jesus loved his disciples was he loved them in spite of their faults, obviously. Praise God. Let's go over to Luke's Gospel, chapter 9. Praise God. Luke chapter 9. What were some of the faults of the disciples? Well, we know they were ambitious. It's good to have initiative. It's good to have a goal, but we can be too desirous of promotion, you know, to where we're thinking about it excessively, amen, not happy until we get the promotion we want, amen. And the disciples, you know, they argued among themselves over who is the greatest in the kingdom of God. I wonder what that sounded like. I wonder what they were saying as they argued. You know, they had been out preaching, went two by two, and they healed the sick, they raised the dead, they preached the kingdom of God. And then when they got back together, sometimes they argued over who was the greatest. Hallelujah. You ever gotten into an argument with someone about who was greater, you or them? I haven't. That's a pretty, you know. What did that sound like? James said to Peter one day, I guess, you know, I'm going to have a higher place in the kingdom of God than you, Peter. Because you've got kind of a temper, and I don't have a temper. And you say things, you do things without thinking. And I'm more carefully led by the Spirit of God. I'm going to have a greater place than you are. Wow. Amen. What an argument. Amen? And Peter said, oh no, James. I'm bold. I'm fearless. And those are the kind of people that God needs, and I'm going to have a higher place than you are. You're a little bit too timid. Amen? Amen. They argued. They coveted promotion and position. Don't turn here, but in Mark chapter 9, verses 33 and 34, the Scripture says, they came to Capernaum, and after going indoors, Jesus asked his disciples, what were you arguing about on the road? But they would not answer him, because on the road they had been arguing among themselves about who was the greatest. What an argument. Wow. So the disciples had faults. They evidently thought it was a fault because they wouldn't admit it to Jesus what they had been talking about. Look at the Luke chapter 9, and let's start reading at verse 28. And it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to do what? To pray. I wonder if he wanted Peter and James and John to pray with him. You think so? Praise God. Verse 29, and as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory, and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. This was a spectacular, supernatural event one of the most spectacular in the life and ministry of Jesus. And look at verse 32. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. The disciples were bored and sleepy in prayer. This is another one of their faults. The Bible in basic English says they were overcome with sleep. The complete Jewish says they were sound asleep. Wiest said, having been overcome by sleep, they were in a state of deep slumber. So here are the 12, well, three of the 12, apostles of the Lamb sleeping during one of the most spectacular supernatural events in the life and ministry of Jesus. Amen. They were bored and sleepy in prayer. At times they were unbelieving. And Jesus would call them on it, you know. Amen. At times they were fearful. Simply making the point that Jesus' disciples had faults. At times they questioned God's love for them. Amen. Remember when they were on the boat and the storm rose up and they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Listen to the Bible in basic English. It says, Master, is it nothing to you that we are in danger of destruction? The complete Jewish says, Rabbi, doesn't it matter to you that we're about to be killed? They questioned the love of God. Amen. They had faults. And Jesus loved them in spite of their faults. Praise God. And not just a few faults. They weren't even born again yet here. And they're walking with the Son of God for 3.5 years. Praise God. And next to him, they looked very carnal and very unspiritual. Amen. But Jesus loved them anyway. Have you ever questioned whether God loves you? I have. You know, I remember when I was, I don't know how old in the Lord, maybe 6 months or 8 months, something like that. Real, real young. So young that I was still literally going into my closet to pray and closing the door. Praise God. And something had gone wrong that was a challenge. I don't know what it was. My car wouldn't start or had a flat tire or something. And I went into my closet. I would open the door and part the clothes and sit down with my back against the wall and pull the door to. And I said to the Lord, is this what you call your blessings? Amen. I'm glad he loved me in spite of my faults. Praise God. And he didn't even respond to that, you know. He doesn't respond to ignorance. Praise God. But they questioned the love of God. Amen. Have you ever wondered at times when you've done something wrong for the 100th time or the 500th time, how he could still love you? Praise God. But he loved them to the end. Praise God. Now listen to this. Not only did he love them, these guys with all these faults, arguing about who would be the greatest, at times fearful and unbelieving, not only did he put up with them and love them, but he entrusted them with the most solemn responsibilities of His kingdom. The promotion of the gospel in the world and the oversight of His church. Hallelujah. Can God use us in spite of our faults? He does all the time, doesn't He? Praise God. Jesus didn't just love the disciples because they were the only ones that were loving Him back. He doesn't love people because they love Him back. He loves them whether they love Him or not. Surely He loves us in spite of our faults when we're doing our utmost to please Him and to serve Him. Glory to God. Amen? But He didn't just love them because they were the only... Okay, these guys are responding somewhat to me, so I guess I'll love them. No, no. Amen. He didn't just put up with them because they were all He had to work with. Glory to God. If you listen and say amen. He loved them so completely. And really the whole world so completely. For God so loved the world. You know, we need to always remember that as believers. Never look down our nose at a lost person or think critically toward them. May I have an amen? Jesus died for them just like He died for us. Glory to God. Jesus loved the disciples so completely, so passionately that He would give up everything. He would undergo the most horrific sufferings to gain their friendship, to gain their love. Hallelujah. He wanted them. Hallelujah. And He wants you. Glory to God. He loved them this way in spite of their faults. Let's go over to 1 John, the 4th chapter. Praise God. If you listen and say amen, I want to make a statement to you. God could not love you any more than He does right now. He couldn't love you any more than He does right now. Hallelujah. Amen. He loves us irrespective of our doing right or doing wrong. Amen. He loves us irrespective of how successful we are in living up to the high standards that we see in the Word of God. He loves us as much as He will ever love us. He couldn't love us any more than He does. Look at 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Isn't that interesting? That the Apostle John here determines who is born of God by the love in the person's life. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love. Look at verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. There's nothing the Father could have given us any more valuable than Jesus. And Jesus, it says in verse 9, was the proof or the manifestation of the love of God toward us. Read it again, verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world. In other words, we know that God loves us because of the extravagance and the sacrifice and the preciousness of the gift that He gave us. What else could He do to prove His love for us? In verse 10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and His love is perfected in us. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and His love is perfected in us. Praise God. Can we love someone with absolutely all of our heart? Can we love someone more than we love life itself? Can we love someone so much that we would give up anything, absolutely anything, for them in spite of their faults? Can we love people like that in spite of their faults? How many think we can? Let's see. Praise God. Well, since Jesus told us to, we know we can. Because His commandments are enablings. Amen? By the love of God in us, glory to God, we can love people in spite of their faults. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's go over to 1 Kings chapter 19. Y'all are mighty quiet this morning. Let's say it again. The Lord is good.
The Lord is good.
And His mercy endures forever. Praise God. You know, something that we have mistakenly done, and when I say we, I mean the church at large, and I used to do this myself. It's just kind of a default train of thought, I think, among us until we learn better. But a mistake that we've made is we have made the Bible characters. We've set them so high on a pedestal, thinking that they were so spiritual that we could never, you know, expect to achieve their level of spirituality and faith, you know. I remember when I first got saved and I started reading about guys like Moses and guys like Noah and Abraham and all the rest of them, Joseph of the Old Testament, Jacob. I used to think, wow, these guys, they were something else. They were something else. We could never even think of having faith like they have, or walking with God like they did. But I know better now. Don't you know better? Praise God. We've given them credit for being so advanced in God that none of us could ever do that. Praise God. But they had faults just like we do. You know, it's interesting that when the law came, you know, Abraham lived before the law. But Abraham was married to his half-sister, which the law said was sin, and that a person that does that should die. So Abraham was involved in something that God disapproved of, very, very strongly disapproved of. But there was no law, and where no law is given, sin is not imputed, Romans said. But Abraham's married to his half-sister, and God is, you know, walking with him and talking with him and blessing him. Glory to God, because Abraham didn't know any better. Hallelujah. But they had faults. This is what we're saying. The Bible characters had faults. You got 1 Kings there? Let's read it at verse, the 18th chapter is that story where Elijah was up on the mountaintop and challenging the prophets of Baal. You remember that story? And the children of Israel were undecided as to who they were going to serve, either the God of heaven or Baal. And Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal to proving. You make a sacrifice to Baal and you call on him, and the God that answers by fire, let him be God. And of course they called on Baal and no fire fell. They worked on it all day. And then Elijah put his sacrifice on the altar, drenched it with water, and called on God, and fire fell from heaven. And then Elijah looked around and said, "Don't let those prophets of Baal escape. Kill them." And they were all killed, all the prophets of Baal. Chapter 19 and verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets of Baal with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of those prophets of Baal by tomorrow about this time." She's saying, "Elijah, you're a dead man." And verse 3, "And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there." He said, "You stay here. I'm going on." He didn't want anybody to know where he was. But he himself, verse 4, went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father." He just had a great spiritual victory. Jezebel threatens his life, and now he's asking God to let him die. He's depressed. He's certainly not in faith. This is a major fault in this man. James chapter 5 and verse 17 said Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. These Bible characters had their faults. Glory to God. He requested that he could die, please. Praise God. Let's go over to Acts chapter 15. Are you with me? Praise God. In spite of their faults, God used them and loved them. Praise God. And Elijah, you know, there in James chapter 5, it said he prayed that it wouldn't rain on the earth, and it rained not on the earth for the space of 3.5 years. And he prayed again for the rain to come, and the rain came. Here again, we see not only did God love him, but is using him in unprecedented ways in a spiritual way. He's a prophet of God, even though he has a problem with depression. You know, they say Smith Wigglesworth. How many have heard of Smith Wigglesworth? Greatly used in healing and miracles. They say he really wasn't a very likable person outside of the pulpit. He was kind of harsh and kind of rude and kind of gruff. Amen. They say Charles Spurgeon, the great English preacher, he had a recurring battle with depression. And this guy was hugely used of the Lord. Praise God. Eloquent, powerful speaker. Glory to God. Look here in Acts chapter 15. Let's see where we want to start. Verse 36. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them. John had departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. He had been with them on a previous ministry excursion, and he wanted to go back to the house. I guess he got, you know, was missing home. Verse 39. And the contention was so sharp between them, between Barnabas and Paul, that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. Now, how did that contention between Paul and Barnabas about taking John with them, how did that sound? It was so sharp, they decided to separate. How did that sound? Well, yeah, Paul, I agree with you. Let's go back and see the churches where we visited, and let's go see how they do, and let's take John with us. Paul said, well, you know, John was on a previous trip with us, and he got to missing home and left. I don't think we should take him with us. Barnabas said, oh, that's water under the bridge, Paul. This is my nephew. I want him to be exposed to the ministry. Let's take him. I say we take him. Paul said, I say we don't take him. I don't want him. He left. Maybe at some future point we'll take him, but no, not this time. Barnabas said, Paul, I respect you. I love you, but I just can't agree with you on this. We're taking John, and he's coming along with us. The contention was so sharp, they separated. Paul said he is not coming. If you want to take him, you two go your way. I'll go in another direction. But keep him away from where I'm having meetings. We'll see you later. Amen. How many ever had an argument? Let's see. Glory to God. Well, here's the great Apostle Paul. Hallelujah. Having an argument. Amen. You know, we have such a great example in front of us in Brother Moore. He's the finest Christian gentleman and minister that I've ever personally met. You know, I'm sure there are other guys out there and ladies that are just as spiritual, I guess, but I haven't met them, but I've met him, praise God. And he's just the finest I've ever met. Finest Christian gentleman. Can you imagine Brother Moore having an argument like that? I can't. He's so gentle in spirit. He's so determined to be led by the Holy Spirit. He'd be checking his side. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The simple point we're making is that these Bible folks had faults, major faults. Praise God. But not only did God love them, He used them. Let's go over to Galatians chapter 2. He entrusted aspects of His work in the earth to these guys. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Well, let's skip that one. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'll just tell you about the other one. Praise God. Peter was in Galatia, in some of the churches in Galatia. And you know the Galatians were Gentile believers. And when Peter was among them, he was, you know, fellowshipping with them and eating with them and just having a good old gospel time, praise God. Preaching, teaching, doing the work of the Lord. And then some of the believers, some of the brethren from Jerusalem came to Galatia to see the work of God. Now the believers in Jerusalem were still hung up about whether or not the Gentiles could have part in redemption. And so when the brethren from Jerusalem came to Galatia, when they got there, Peter started acting differently toward the Gentile believers. He wouldn't eat with them anymore. And Paul rebuked him to his face, and he says, "You're not walking according to the principles of the gospel." Amen? And so Peter, here, we see another fault in Peter, he was worried about what those Jewish believers would think about him fellowshipping with Gentiles. Amen. He was worried about what people thought. That's a weakness. That's a fault. Amen? We should do what God wants us to do no matter what anybody thinks about it. Praise God. Now let's look here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse, let's see. Let's start reading at verse 4. Paul writing to the church at Corinth. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by Him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Now look at this first phrase of verse 7. So that you come behind in no gift. He was talking about spiritual gifts and graces. And some of the versions use that word graces along with the gifts. Gifts and graces. You come behind in no gift or grace, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. And look at chapter 3. He said, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions or cliques, little groups, little cliques. Are you not carnal and walk as men? So in chapter 1, verse 7, he said, you come behind in no gift. You've got spiritual gifts among you, working of miracles, gifts of healing, discerning of spirits, prophecy, word of wisdom, tongues and interpretation. You have it all, but you're carnal. You're carnal. You're spiritually a baby, he told him. I wanted to talk to you like a grown-up, but I couldn't. Simple idea here. They had faults. The Bible characters had faults. The prophets had faults. Moses had faults. Glory to God. The early church had faults. I used to think before I learned better, surely this early church, with all that miraculous stuff going on, these people had it together spiritually. But Paul had to write to them and say, you've got divisions, you've got cliques, you're carnal, there's strife among you, there's envying among you. He had to write letters and tell them to flee fornication. They had come out of idolatry in this great city of Corinth, and part of the heathen worship in the city involved temple prostitutes. And so he had to tell them, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You cannot continue to do that stuff. Amen. So they had faults. The only type of human beings that God has to love are faulty ones. Amen. Glory to God. The only type of human beings that exist are faulty ones. Praise God. We've got to resign ourselves to this fact Whenever we're in relationship with anyone, husband and wife, neighbor, friend, co-worker, fellow church member, whenever we're in relationship with anyone, at some point, because we are human, we are going to rub each other the wrong way. It's inevitable. Amen. It's inevitable. You know, there may be some aspect of my personality that you don't appreciate. It's quite possible. Hallelujah. You may have a way about you that I don't like. I don't know. Praise God. But at some point, because we're not perfect, we are going to maybe annoy each other. Amen. Maybe disappoint one another because we have faults. We have to understand that. Praise God. No matter how enchantingly or magically or with what degree of promise the relationship began, at some point, offense is going to take place. Anger is going to take place. There was a guy, I got to wind this up, but there was a guy that the Lord, he was married to a woman on the praise team at a church where Sally and I were attending. And he didn't come to church. He had something in his thinking or in his craw about organized religion. He didn't think all that was necessary, so he didn't come to church. But the Lord put this guy on my heart. So Sally and I asked this lady who was on the praise team and her husband to come out to dinner. Let us buy you dinner. And man, this guy he took to me. It was God, you know. He took to me. It was just, and I was excited because, you know, the Lord was using me, and here I've got a new friend. He was an engineer. And had great family, you know. Just a real, real good guy. And I'm excited about this new friendship. And man, we had them over to our house. They had us over to their house. I went jet skiing with him. Played tennis with him. Our families even vacationed together and went to Disney World in Florida one time. The relationship is just, it's glorious. He starts coming to church regularly, gets back with God, and you know, gets up to snuff with the Lord. And then something happened. I was the assistant pastor of the church, and his son, he had two kids, a son and a daughter. His son was causing some trouble in the youth group. And so I instructed the youth pastor to call the young man in and talk to him. Anyway, they were so offended by that you know, I suggested that the youth pastor talk to their son. You would have thought I killed their son. I mean, they were, and in his mind, the dad's mind, his relationship with me, it's over. I apologized to him profusely on numerous occasions, probably 6, 8, 10 times. Wrote him a couple of letters apologizing. Tell him I didn't mean any harm. It's just trying to, you know, smooth things out in the youth group. He would hear none of it. He continued coming to church. But I would see him on the row. I would approach him. He wouldn't even look at me prior to service. Reach out my hand. He'd shake my hand without looking at me, without saying anything. And as far as I know, he's still that way. But we have faults. Maybe when you were dating your wife, you know, she had a sparkle in her eye. Her laughter sounded like music. Her presence was intoxicating. And then you got married. Hallelujah. You found out some things about her that you didn't know before. Maybe she's not a morning person and she doesn't even want to talk before 10 a.m. Hallelujah. Maybe she didn't keep house like you thought she should. Amen. Maybe she drives a car like somebody on heavy medication. I don't know. Praise God. Ladies, maybe when you married your husband, you thought he was Romeo and Hercules and Solomon and the Apostle Paul all rolled up in one. But then after you walked down the aisle, you found out some things about it. Maybe he's messy. He doesn't pick up after himself and his clothes are everywhere and socks and shoes. Maybe he doesn't take out the trash or change the light bulb as quickly as you thought he does. Maybe he doesn't pay as rapt attention to you as he once did. But we need to learn how to love each other in spite of our faults. Amen? Is that all right? Praise God. Joyce, would you guys please come back? In closing, let me just mention a couple of things. Glory to God. Let's stand together. Praise God. Hallelujah. And we need to, once and for all, get rid of a couple of false notions. Praise God. We're talking about, in spite of people's faults, loving them. If you listen and say amen. Here's one of the false notions that we need to get rid of. The idea of holding ourselves and our leaders to some impossibly high standard of conduct. And the slightest little thing we see wrong in our leader, he's not the person I thought he was. And doing that to each other, you know, holding one another to just a standard that is so high that, you know, few people ever live up at that level. I was talking to a gentleman after church. Well, no, it was before church on Sunday. And I was talking to a builder, one of our men that's a builder, and another gentleman was standing right next to him. And I was telling this builder, I've been to your website, and I really like it. Man, you do excellent work. I said, if I ever build a house, I very well may call on you. And this other gentleman standing there said, not if, when. God wants us blessed. And so we're holding each other to a standard so high, you see, that if we utter a phrase or a word that seems to indicate, it may not have been doubt at all, but seems to indicate doubt, we're correcting. If you ever You know, if I ever build a house, and I don't know that I will, you know, you have to be led by the Lord in that. If I ever build a house, I'm going to consider calling you, man. I really appreciate your work. And this guy said, not if, when. You see that? Holding each other to this impossible standard. Glory to God. And then, another idea we need to get rid of is that somehow God's love for us is hindered by our faults. His love is not hindered toward us by our faults. Glory to God. Has anybody thought, well, you know, the Lord might not be listening to me right now because I just messed up. But, you know, anybody ever had that thought? Let's see. Praise God. But it's not true. Glory to God. His love is not affected, diminished, challenged whatsoever by our faults. Glory to God. He loves us in spite of our faults. Amen. And he calls us to love that way. Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Joyce, what you got for us today? Go ahead. Praise God.
I walk like Jesus.
I talk like Jesus.
I live like Jesus.
Hallelujah. Make it a confession of faith.
I walk like Jesus. I talk like Jesus. I live like Jesus by the Spirit in me.
I pray
like Jesus. I say like Jesus. I have faith like Jesus by the Spirit.
Father, we thank you for your word today. Glory to God. Father, help us in your love to overlook people's faults. Not even give them any consideration, Father, in the name of Jesus. Help us to love one another like you loved us. Glory to God. And we'll give you all the praise for it. And the church said amen. Amen. God bless you. We are dismissed.